105 BFM, that's Milo there with Otto's Journey from the album Destroy Rock and Roll. Another big day out, 2006. Comer over tour. I'm looking forward to that. You're listening to 95 BFM. This is the Tuesday Wire. Hell's Bells, they're at it. Hammer and Tongs, old Winston Peters and Granny Harold. When the Herald published an editorial questioning Winston Peters' performance as Foreign Minister, his reaction was characteristically histrionic. The paper's lies, he said, could amount to treason. Heavy stuff. The Herald is standing by its reportage, as today's editorial makes clear. Herald columnist and possible traitor Fran O'Sullivan joins us on the wire now.
Hi, Noel.
Good afternoon, Fran. Now, the last time we spoke on BFM, it was about Winston, and your final words were, "It's going to be interesting."
Yes, and I actually said some rather purple things about him, in the sense that I actually said, if you might recall, that I thought he could actually just conceivably do a very good job and be a credit to New Zealand, whatever the critics might think. And I'm now having to swallow those words big time.
Now, Winston Peters is beside himself, and the Herald is bearing the brunt of it. But from the reports from Korea, it seems like it's perhaps Phil Goff he should be having a few words with.
Well, yes, and as is characteristic in these sorts of things, when two boys get a bit of embarrassment, mutual, together, heaped on top of each other, they tend to blame one person, and that's the media, plural, singular. And in my case, obviously a traitor.
Yes. Now, leaking that comment that from Alexander Downer, the request for clarification of Mr. Peters' position, that was rather extraordinary. And it's hard to believe it wasn't just a faux pas or a mistake.
Yeah, it was an extraordinary thing. And I think Phil Goff, to give him his due, did try to present this as, you know, quite a normal thing for Alexander Downer to be doing. But the plain fact is Alexander Downer would have been briefed on the makeup of the cabinet. He'd have been on the phone with both Mr. Peters, in fact, had Mr. Peters and Mr. Goff well ahead of this particular meeting. My understanding was that, no one was particularly happy about it, but, that this questioning was taking place in the first place. Though both Mr. Peters and Mr. Downer professed themselves to be very happy with the, you know, explanations, and as they would, wouldn't they, and how things had turned out. But Phil Goff, Helen Clark and Phil Goff, both together, jointly, severally, whatever, are muddying the waters on this a bit at the moment by suggesting that, in fact, this questioning of Alexander Downer, firstly of Winston Peters and then of Phil Goff, had originally come out of Australian sources and had been sourced there. Trouble is, no one can find any stories prior to the comments that Phil Goff made to the New Zealand Press Association, which in my conversations with that reporter, Ian Llewellyn, certainly does seem that this was inspired by Goff rather than by Ian. That's how he found out.
And Alexander Downer was said to be quite surprised.
Yes, he was. And he was surprised that Phil Goff had actually spoken to media up in Busan about the Peters thing, and also about the questions he had put to Phil Goff about the arrangements that have been struck, which are unusual, as Mr. Downer himself made clear.
And then there's a question of motivation. Why would this be put into the public arena?
Well, it's pretty embarrassing, isn't it?
Yeah.
For Mr. Peters, I would have thought. I mean, there was only one way that story played, and it played out that way first time round, seeking clarity. Now, there's been a bit of sort of to-ing and fro-ing afterwards, and as I said, muddying the waters on this, and it's now being portrayed as an absolutely natural thing to do, to have these sorts of conversations, but, you know, it's not natural for them to hit the headlines.
On this radio station on Monday, Helen Clark, when I talked to her about this, said, you know, Australia's been a critic of RMMP system, and that's why. And
yeah.
Seems to be passing it off in that manner.
That's why Alexander Downer asked.
Yes.
Yes, but it is critical, and it's critical because we've landed up with a system where someone sitting on, you know, not a hell of a lot of votes, for that matter, can actually end up dictating terms. And that's what we've ended up with, and that's anathema to Australia, and it's anathema to most countries. We have a very extreme form of proportional representation, which does allow this to happen. And even more to the point, the thing which stuns Australian circles, government circles and official circles, is that you have a foreign minister sitting outside of the cabinet whose party can attack the government on various things outside of his own portfolio. And usually the foreign minister is the representative of the whole government when he's overseas. And so this creates confusion. No one knows really, you know, I mean, what can they convey to him? You know, if they convey something when he's offshore, you know, promoting the government as a whole, when he comes back and the issue comes up again, you know, can, and it's not in his own immediate bailiwick, can one of his MPs attack it? So there's a huge amount of room for confusion.
Now, this APEC is obviously a very high-profile event, and Winston, and this is his first sort of venturing out there, and you've got this sideshow. This bodes very ill for how it's going to continue.
Well, yeah, it does bode ill. I mean, it was a sideshow this time round. I mean, let's face it, Winston Peters has alienated New Zealand news media very strongly, and I hadn't appreciated that myself until I got up to APEC, having not had much to do with Winston in close quarters for a number of years, until, in fact, he became foreign minister, which is an area I've been reporting in for, you know, the last 5 years or so. And so it was not till that time that I had much to do with him. It's pretty clear that relations during the campaign hit, you know, yet another low. And, you know, things are pretty entrenched with the media. So,
is he taking it personally?
He does take it personally. And he's extraordinarily snappy and extraordinarily thin-skinned. But it's more than that. I mean, he's more inclined, for instance, to chip away at the media and say, well, what would they know about, you know, trade or foreign affairs and these sorts of things, and that they're only interested in domestic politics and so forth. And that's not entirely true, but domestic politics is important. And when you have a cabinet minister and a minister outside cabinet, you know, cabinet minister sort of commenting on areas about that other minister overseas, that's when domestic politics goes offshore, and that is a story.
Mm. And do you think there is potential for New Zealand's international reputation to be damaged?
Well, it will get damaged. I mean, it just looks bizarre enough anyway when you're sitting, you know, when you're at an APEC meeting in outside among all the other foreign ministers and people going by, and Winston Peters is having a slanging match with the New Zealand press. I mean, it's just not done. The other ministers don't conduct themselves like that. They're more assured, they'll find their way around tricky questions, they know how to laugh and joke, and they know how to get along. And he's going to need to do that, because he can't just speak to foreign media.
He stormed out of a press conference, didn't he?
Well, yes, he did. Yes, he did. He stormed off, you know, because somebody asked something that he didn't want to comment on. But again, it's, you know, it's very difficult for Winston to go immediately to this position of the international statesman that he clearly craves when he's got a track record of, you know, basically pooping all over a lot of the areas that normally a foreign statesman would not do so, you see. So he's got all this immigration track record and stuff like that. And it's going to take a while for New Zealand media to see past that and to see the new Winston, if indeed he emerges.
The New Zealand Herald's criticism of Winston Peters, this sort of negative coverage, stems from his declining to sit on the Foreign Affairs Committee. Does that render his position a sinecure?
Well, the Herald's editorial certainly saw, you know, took that viewpoint. His position with the Foreign Committee, he now says he's going to turn up when things are happening that are important in his area. And it may be, I mean, Helen Clark has been trying to steer him more to that, I think, by her public comments and other comments since this APEC furore blew up. But prior to that, there hadn't been much of a steer, and he's got to be very careful that it doesn't appear like a sinecure. He's got to be able to do what, you know, all foreign ministers do, and that is to front externally. But also, he's going to have to learn how to get along with the media. He can't continue to play the old Winston games. I mean, it just does not sit easily side by side by the statesmanship and diplomatic kind of persona that he's now going to have to project. Can't be both. It's just too confusing.
But the Herald's not making it very easy for him with Bauble Watch, is it? The knives are out, Fran.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, the point is, Mr. Peters, I think, is just, you know, he's got to... I think the thing with Winston is, you know, he's got to sort of grow up a bit, and he can't continually, you know, go around, for instance, saying he's doing things and then not sort of putting it out in the public domain. I mean, the Dominion Post also had a very critical editorial or two over the last week or so in relation to Winston Peters. And in fact, I think, you know, compared him on the treachery allegations against the Herald and its reporters as to being, you know, a bit like Robert Mugabe. So, you know, yes, and that's a pretty,
you
know.
It's not the sort of comparison one would be inviting.
It's not the comparison one would like. But it's just that sort of very sort of over-the-top type approach. And, you know, it's perfectly acceptable for newspapers to criticise, hold to account politicians and to suggest
that... Well, that's what they're supposed to do, isn't
it? Exactly, and to suggest otherwise that when this happens that it's treachery and, you know, which is generally seen as sort of treason, as off with the heads territory. You know, it's just not on, really.
Fran O'Sullivan, thank you for your time and watch your back. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Fran O'Sullivan there, Herald columnist, talking about Winston Peters and his media management, or lack thereof. Is Mr. Peters getting a fair go from the Herald, or is he being made an unfair target of? 309-3879 or 955 if you want to add your 2 cents worth. For the record, we did attempt to have the Foreign Minister on the show today, but he's offshore at the moment. We'll try again next week for the Tuesday Wire. 1:05, Baby Shambles.